This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The guys on the big show have been going at it for 3 hours, but they haven't crashed and burned. Yet. It's time to reset today's big topics and let you pick a lane. Brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Now open for the 2019 racing season. With new events throughout the year, now is the time to go to GreatLakesDragway.com and plan out your summer of racing. Pick up a discounted ticket package or a season pass that will pay for itself after 3 visits. So pick up yours today.
Great Lakes Dragway, Pick a Lane on the Wendy's Big Show. Steve Sparky, Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, for Badger and Packer running back. I'm Bill Schmidt, baby Tausch, here till 6 o'clock. Then the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on Deck Show gets you ready for Brewers and Braves. Brewers against the first place Braves tonight. Their all-star Brandon Woodruff on the bump. And the Brewers need it as Woody goes for his 11th win of the season. That's where we start in the right lane today on Great Lakes Dragway. Pick a lane. Do you think the Milwaukee Brewers are letting you down as a fan, Gary, by not adding at this deadline and not necessarily going all in or not necessarily going all out and selling off every possible piece? But do you think the Brewers organization is letting you down as a fan? Where they are right now, third place, a half game back of the St. Louis Cardinals for the second wild card spot.
Yeah, you just didn't come out of the all-star break with a good start, and that's kind of where you are. Now, I know we talked to Adam McAlvey, and Adam said, well, this thing is probably going to go all the way up to the trade deadline, and that's probably how it's going to shake out. But I'm sure right now, can you wait that long? I mean, listen, you got a game tonight. If you lose the game tonight, man, and then all these other guys win, you're backing yourself into a corner that you may not be able to get out of. You might need to make a move now. So, really, I don't know if they're letting me down. I just think we just don't know where the organization is as an organization. In that, are they still in rebuilding mode where they don't want to get rid of any assets? They don't want to get rid of any of their young players? They're going to stand pat and still try to win, and maybe that push is 2 years from now. They're just treading water that people are still coming to see them play. They still going to make a lot of money this year. What, over $2 million is probably going to pass through there, right?
Oh, it'll easily be right at $3
million. Yeah. So they're doing good. There's really no need to really rush and do this thing. I think we need to take a look at a step back and start thinking about when this thing first started with Mark Annanasio and David Stearns, they talk about sustainable success. They talked about really winning for the long term. And I think that means not giving up any of their young players for just a meaningless trade right now at this point.
Sparky, do you think the Milwaukee Brewers organization is letting you down where they are right now here on July 16th?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think expectations-wise, yeah, they probably let you down because you came into this season thinking you were going to go to a World Series. And that's not happening. So from that aspect, I guess you're feeling let down. To Gary's point of, you know, feeling let down because they haven't done enough to maybe add to this thing now once they got into the season and saw the holes and haven't gone out there, been aggressive enough. But they are trying to get lightning in the bottle, guys, right? Shelby Miller,
right.
Smiley,
right.
Down in the minor league. So they're trying that type of thing. I don't know, man. I guess I'm not there to say they're letting me down necessarily. I guess I will say they're letting me down if we get to the trade deadline and they don't do anything. Then I'm going to be let down. Because if you get to the trade deadline and go, okay, we're not good enough to be buyers, but I don't want to sell away assets that are on expiring deals, then I'm going to be mad. Then I'm going to be mad at Stearns if
really
we get to that point and you're saying we're not good enough to be buyers, but you don't want to trade away Moustakas or Grandal to get assets in return to kind of build this farm system. Yeah, I'm not going to be happy with David Stearns. It'll be the first time ever, but I'm not going to be happy with David Stearns. And the other thing we all have to remember is David Stearns had a field day in the month of August adding guys to this roster and building it for the postseason. And he does no longer gets to do that, nor does anybody. There's only one trade deadline now. So what you get is all you get. You don't get to add to this later with these bargain basement deals like David Stearns was able to do in the past. That's going to be adjustment not only for Stearns, but for the rest of the general managers in baseball, too.
And it's also a decision that teams are going to have to make that not necessarily knowing where they are and wanting to see if they could make a move to try to win, also trying to make a move to, like you said, win for 2 to 3 years down the road. 414-799-1250, that's the right lane. In the center lane, Giannis over the weekend, as he accepts his MVP award in front of the Milwaukee faithful, celebrates it in front of 20,000 folks outside of Fiserv Forum. He tells everybody, Stevie, I'm about 60% of the player that I'm going to be, right around 60%. For all those that didn't flirt around the 60% line in school, that is a D. So for an MVP to say that he is at a low end of a D grade in his potential tapped out at this point, where do you think Giannis actually is?
I think he's closer to like 85%. You know, we could sit here and say he can do all these things better, and that's why he's 60%, and that may be. But realistically, I mean, the dude's not going to peak out at every single thing he attempts. He's not going to peak out and be Steph Curry, you know, shooting the three. He's not going to peak out and be Rip Hamilton hit with a mid-range jumper. He's not going to be, you know, Steph at the free throw line or whatever. You're just not going to see that across the board from Giannis. I just don't think he's capable of doing all that stuff. Now, you may be listening right now and being like, yeah, watch me. Okay, fine, then go do it. Because if he does peak out across the board, then he's the greatest player ever to walk the face of the earth as a basketball player. Period, end of story. It's not close. It's done. It's all done. Because he can already do a bunch of stuff other people have not been able to do. And now you add in all this other stuff that you're saying, he now has a mid-range, he now has a three, he now can shoot free throws, he now can make better passes, he does all this other stuff on top of it. That's why I'd say it's 85%. Will he get better? Sure. Will he be a gigantic get better? I don't see how it happens. No, I guess I'm not there on it.
Gary, how much of Giannis's potential do you think he's tapped into?
Well, I think he's right. I think he's about 60%. Listen, if you figure mid-range game, one, a better pass, and the Joker's already averaging 6 to 6 a game, but a better pass in terms of catch and shoot with Middleton, Bledsoe, or any shooters that you're going to get bring in here, okay? Free throws, most definitely, right? And maybe if he can get some sort of three-point shot. I'm not saying he's a three-point shooter, but maybe knock it down more of a consistent rate. Now, listen, Scottie Pippen, I don't know what his three-point shooting average was, but if he can get it, because Scottie Pippen's jump shot was broke. But maybe if he can get it in that kind of a range, maybe he could be a threat. But listen, there's like 4 or 5 things this guy can just get better at. Yeah, he may be 50% at his potential. Because what is he doing right now? Dunking.
Slamming down on people, swatting people at the rim.
That's really his game. That's what he's all about. I mean, this guy's averaging about 28 points per game just dunking. I mean, he can go 35 a game easily. He could average a triple-double easily. That's crazy.
Yeah, there's only been 2 players in pro basketball history to be able to do it.
Right.
That's the center lane. Where do you see Giannis at right now? He says he's at 60%. Gary agrees with him. What about you? 414-799-1250. And in the left lane, do you really think the Green Bay Packers are trying to win a Super Bowl every single year? Do you believe that they're not trying to win a Super Bowl every single year, Gary, because it appears a lot of fans. We had our own Jeff Orlowski say it yesterday after we interviewed Mark Murphy, and you heard that conversation a little bit while ago. And if you want to hear it again, it's up right now, 1057FMTheFan.com, Fan on Demand, brought to you by John Paul's Buick GMC. Jeff's tweet at us said, Murphy just said Packer fans were spoiled under Mike McCarthy and Ted Thompson. Isn't the goal of every franchise to win the championship? If so, Mark Murphy just admitted he's happy just making the playoffs. There's a consensus of people that don't think that's good enough. I often say it that you can't believe that you can win a title if you don't make the playoffs first, because you technically can't.
Right.
But for that realm and where you sit right now, do you believe Packer fans don't think the Packers are trying to win the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I believe there's a lot of fans like Jeff Orlowski. And I just don't know how you just don't try to win it. I mean, but a lot of people believe that. No, I don't believe in that. I think in some ways, I think everybody pick and choose when they should actually, quote-unquote, go for it. But I think every year they're trying to win a Super Bowl. I just think people think it's easier to win them than what they give credit to. Just because you've had two basically Hall of Fame quarterbacks back to back doesn't guarantee you that. Now most people are going to point to the New England Patriots. I say that's the greatness of the New England Patriots. Steve could say that's the cheaters in the New England Patriots. Whatever it is, they've been the only team that is Vince Lombardi like. And there's not a lot to, well, just look at the times that the Patriots have won it. I mean, nobody else is winning at that rate. So they're just doing something special. I mean, they may be that outlier. And the Green Bay Packers may be like everybody else, where it's tough to get it done.
Sparky, do you really think the Packers are not trying to win the Super Bowl every single year? Do you think fans believe that?
I think a majority of fans believe that when Ted Thompson was general manager of this organization. I don't think there's any question about it. A majority of fans didn't think he used the trade avenue. Didn't think he used the free agency avenue, and really only used the draft route and signing undrafted free agents, which he was very good at. And so he really only used out that one route to try and build a championship team. And I think that really frustrated fans, and I think that frustrated coaches, and I think that frustrated players within the organization that they weren't adding the pieces that other teams were to try to get them over the hump. But this new general manager, I don't think that's the case. I think this new general manager has shown his willingness to use all avenues, trade, free agency, draft, whatever. I'm going to try and make this team as good as I can make it because I only have Aaron Rodgers for so long. Mm-hmm. And that's what everybody wanted Ted Thompson to do, and he wasn't willing to play ball that way. That wasn't his belief system. That's not how he was going to go about doing his job, and he wasn't going to get forced into doing his job any differently than the way he wanted to do it, and nobody was going to step to Ted Thompson and tell him he was wrong. He had a Super Bowl ring already as general manager of the Green Bay Packers, so they just stepped away and let him do it his way until they finally had to intercede.
414-799-1250, the Great Lakes Dragway Pick a Lane starts with Rick in Oshkosh. Rick, you're on the
Rick.
Fan.
Hey, how you guys doing? Thanks for taking my call. Sparky, Brewers, I feel they have let down. They've let down 122,000 fans this weekend by the product they put out there. First of all, I feel let down because David Stearns never really went after a starting pitcher on the offseason and boasted a bullpen because they didn't have Corey Knebel. They never replaced him. And he said clearly they would be all right with what they got while they were proved wrong by the pitchers themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my question to you is, do you buy or sell? I won't necessarily do neither one, but I got a question.
What's the question?
I have a Sarkis and Grandel. Both of them will be free agents after the year, or one's an option. Which one would you sign? Which one would you trade? Because you can't do both. So you can't let Grandel go without getting something for him. You lose him to free agency, you get nothing.
Nice. Well, you do get a draft pick. You do get a top compensation, A-level draft pick.
I would sign Mike Massages to a deal now and get him extended, and then trade Grandel for at least some kind of pitching.
How long would you sign Mike Moustakas for, Rick?
2 years and one option.
Okay, sounds good. Appreciate the call, man.
Two more things. Yeah, Chase Anderson, Greg Thompson has told Brian, I heard this from Brian and Bill, that Greg Thompson will never let Chase Anderson go a third time around the lineup.
Okay.
But he's pitching. Why start him? I'll add one more thing. They have to do something with Tyler Saladino.
Sure.
Slow down, designate him, and maybe find another right-hand bat. You don't have to do a lot to tweak this team and maybe start winning some games. You just have to push the worst players around and don't have so many holes without a right-handed bat. And with Chase Anderson, that's why Chase Anderson, if he can't go more than 5 minutes, why start him? And I would like to get your answer, please.
Okay, appreciate it, Rick. You start him because the belief system is in pro baseball right now that the majority of pitchers in baseball, you go through the third time through the order.
Right.
The averages exponentially increase across pretty much every team. And if you look at what Craig Counsell does and David Stearns, Matt Arnold, whoever some people believe are calling the shots, they base pretty much every decision they do off the splits. And just about every decision they make has numbers that they can look at every single day, data that they have compiled, and that is how they can make their decisions. And that's why Chase Anderson doesn't go a third time through the order.
So what exactly is the role of a baseball manager today?
To make sure that morale is strong, to continue a clubhouse culture that breeds winning, success. Yeah, a lot of it is.
Psychologist, right? Because he's not doing anything else. I mean, everything else, like you just said, is based on numbers.
He's pulling out pitchers and going...
Based on numbers, based on matchups, based on who he's going
to
use
in
different
situations. Yeah, but you also have to infer that data. Like, the data doesn't come out here and say, go to Matt Albers.
The data says that this pitcher is this good against this next hitter coming up. Right? And that's what you're using.
Yeah, and you infer...
The days of bringing in a lefty and going, I got a gut feeling he's gonna do pretty good tonight. We're going to roll him in there and see what happens.
Yeah.
Those gut feeling days are long gone.
Craig Counsell did that the other week and then admitted that he messed up. That he had a left-hander ready to go, and that he goes, I just had a hunch. I thought Matt was ready to go. I thought Matt would be able to keep it rolling. I had Claudio ready. I didn't do it.
And David Stearns said, we don't do hunches here. We go by numbers. Let's just play the numbers, Craig. Let's not worry about what your stomach feels like. Grab a Wendy's burger or something, and you can feel that feeling in your stomach.
David Stearns, if he is going to be telling his manager who should be playing at those points, then he should go to 105.7 FM The Fan's contest page and try to win Craig some Wendy's and fill up his stomach.
Yeah, hey, man, look.
I'd rather have Craig Counsell making those decisions.
We talked about this yesterday, and I'm going to tell you again today. Bring home the bacon, baby. It's Bacon Fest going on with the Wendy's Big Show and Wendy's right now. You go to the 1057fmthefan.com page. You click on contests, multiple contests that you can get involved in, right? Register to win. A combo meal contest where you can win 4 packs of combo meals. That's awesome. Multiple winners in that contest. And 1 grand prize winner if you sign up for the Bring Home the Bacon Bag contest. Now, listen to me. You can pretty much eat without having to pay for food for quite a while at Wendy's if you win this Bring Home the Bacon Bag contest, right? You get free Wendy's combo meal cards, a bunch. Free bacon jalapeno cheeseburger cards, a bunch of those. Free small fry coupons, bunch of those. $2 off any large hamburger coupons, bunch of those. Free small frosty coupons, bunch of those. Free giant fresh baked cookie coupons, bunch of those. And free small chili coupons, bunch of those. Now, on top of all of those cards and coupons that you get a bacon pool float. I don't know. How long is a bacon pool float? Like 7 feet?
I laid on it, and I had room.
You had room?
I had room.
So it's about 7 feet long, and you can sit out there and suntan in your pool or wherever the case may be. Right.
Just sizzling.
Bacon Fest t-shirt, Wendy cinch bag, Wendy smartphone holder, all kinds of stuff inside of this Bring Home the Bacon Bag. Sign up now at 1057fmthefan.com. Click on contest and get signed up.
Wendy's Big Show, Great Lakes Dragway, Pick a Lane continues, and David Stearns speaks to whether the Milwaukee Brewers will buy or sell at the deadline. I'll have that for you next.
I retweeted something from Jeremy, who tweeted at us using the Face app, and he did the Big Show with the Face app, and he also did Chuck and Winkler with the Face app as well. First of all, Chuck Freeman just doesn't really age. I mean, that
he ages like a fine wine.
He really does, yeah.
Bart Winkler looks scarily like his father.
Yeah, Bart doesn't look all... I mean, he looks a little bit older, obviously.
Gray beard doesn't help.
Baby Tosh, I think of all of them, you age the worst of all of them.
If I look like a 75-year-old grandma, can they just pull it off?
I just didn't age very well in that picture.
Why am I bald?
Your hair is pulled back.
So what is this?
Your hair is pulled back. It's this face app, and it tells you how you're going to look when you're however many years older.
Oh, okay.
So they did it to the Big Show for all these. I retweeted it from the 105.7 Fan app.
Yeah, that's an old picture.
No, that's a current picture that they... What are you talking about?
He's saying of himself.
Yeah, that's an old picture of me.
Yeah. He's saying of himself.
Well, that's whatever the guy found online, obviously.
Yeah, that's the one that's on the fan page.
You should go find something else.
Well, then you should put a new one up on your headshot at 1057fmthefan.com.
Gary's saying he's much thinner than the headshot that's currently up.
Well, my face is a little different.
It's a lot thinner, yeah.
But what I look like on SD? Did you already put it out
there? You don't look bad at all.
Did you put it out there already?
I retweeted it, yeah.
Let me go.
From the fan
it's retweeted at the fan page.
Where can I find it? From the fan page?
1057 FM The Fan on Twitter.
Yeah, Baby Tosh definitely looks the worst.
Oh, my goodness. You sure? Jeez, Baby Tosh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, you know he does.
It's awesome. Awesome. Just
you
awesome.
Seen it, Billy?
Yeah.
Yeah, just showed it to him.
Just awesome. Wendy's Big Show, 1057 FM The Fan. Big Show on the Fan. David Stearns has addressed everybody's biggest question. Will the Milwaukee Brewers add or sell at the MLB trade deadline? This is from Tom Hardecourt. We'll have more of these comments coming up during the Pella Windows and Doors Wisconsin today. On Deck Show.
He said he wasn't available.
Oh, wow. Well, apparently he was available at Miller Park. Yeah, apparently okay. He's available now.
That's okay.
Maybe we'll get another one. Maybe we'll get a different answer at some point. Brewers general manager David Stearns from Tom Hardecourt said his inclination now is to add to this team and see if it can catch fire. But added, there are 2 weeks till the deadline and things could change. So doesn't sound like anything percolating right now. That from Tom Hardecourt on Twitter. Quotes from general manager David Stearns.
They're looking to make a move though, right?
Yeah, looks. He said you're going to try to find a way to add to this team. He also talked about Travis Shaw. Said the team will find a way to add Travis Shaw back to the roster if it is determined he can be helping this major league club. Well, obviously, wasn't ready to say how. Also said they want to make sure Shaw is squared away and ready for good.
Shaw's coming back. We knew this when he went.
There's nowhere to play him.
Well, yeah, but if Travis Shaw is your left-handed bat off the bench. Yeah.
He can't come back and come off the bench. You know darn right well. He'll never continue the momentum he's got in the minor
leagues. Somebody's going to be gone.
If he comes up here and plays 2 days a week.
He'll be at first and third. First or third, position-wise.
No way you're taking Eric Thames out of the lineup.
Somebody's going to bite
the bat. Aguilar's playing well.
No, Council
said he's not going back down.
I think he's your bench guy, and I think he's your left-handed stick off the bench.
He can be.
And he could. This team is monstrous if he's the guy off the bench.
And you know what? He'd be glad to do it. He ain't going to cause a fuss.
Be a lot better than being stuck in the minors.
That's what you want.
He'd much rather be on the bench than be on a bus.
Yes.
Right?
Like, that's definitely the easiest way to say it.
And that's the guy you want there. He's been a team guy from day one.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely true.
What's wrong with that?
I'm excited to see it when it happens. I think it's going to happen very, very, very soon.
No pressure for you.
His last 8 games, he's 10 for 23 with 5 bombs.
Hopefully he's finding it.
That's finding it. That's for sure. Trell's on the north side. He's up on the Fan. Hey, T.
Hey, what's going on with you, gentlemen?
You.
I'm taking the center lane. I think it's accurate, 60%. Like Gary was saying not that long ago, I mean, to me, his handle can get tighter, can get better, where he's more confident to get into smaller windows and shorter areas. I mean, of course, his jumper, his three-pointer, and mid-range can get better. I also believe his post-game, he can add to that.
Oh, absolutely. I haven't thought about that. Yep.
To have another tool in the toolbox for when teams play different defenses that he can punish smaller guys down low. So I do think 60% is pretty accurate. When you add up about 4 or 5 other things that he can get better at, doesn't mean he's going to get better at all those things, but they are out there for him to get better at. So,
Trell, which one of those things do you think he is able to improve first?
Honestly, I think the post game would be the easiest because that's pretty much him just doing repetitive moves down there and getting used to that. And then as the season goes on, he gets more confident. Because your jump shot, whether he gets better by shooting it repetitively, it's still going to take him game reps, continuous game reps to keep shooting him for him to get better. So the post game, I think that can elevate quicker. And also I think his handle, if he works on a different thing, he can get his handle a little tighter because he's a long player. He needs to get his handle a little tighter when he got shorter people on him so he'll have more confidence to go to the basket on smaller people.
Appreciate the call. I would agree that I think the post game is the one that could be the easiest remedy for Giannis to do right now. Like, that could be the first step that you see him do into this untapped potential that he believes he has.
I haven't heard him talk about working on post moves.
No, I have not. Not at all.
I have not heard a word about it. That doesn't mean he's not going to.
True.
All I'm saying is we've heard him talk about working on that three-point shot.
Mm-hmm.
Now we heard him bring up at the end with Eric Name about working on the mid-range game and trying to get that better. So that's where we are. Again, doesn't mean he's not going to work on the post moves. But as of right now, the understanding we have as a fan base, based on what we've read, is he's going to try and work on that mid-range jumper now. So let's see how much better that can get. But my bigger question is, how does that play into what they want to do offensively? Because Bud's not a fan of mid-range games. front office don't like mid-range. That's not what the math says. That's not how the numbers lay out. We don't want that. We want to force the other team into shooting mid-range jumpers. It's not a good shot, a mid-range jumper, because it's been the entire time of NBA existence, but it's no longer in today's NBA. So that's what they're against. So is the offense going to evolve and change now to where Middleton can shoot mid-range jumpers again, which was his strength that you ripped away from him? Is Giannis now going to be encouraged to fire mid-range shots? See, to me, that's my thing. Like, did Giannis say that to Eric, and then they told Giannis, yeah, we saw what you said. No, you're not going to work on your mid-range jumpers. We're going to continue to work on the three and do what we do, and we don't need to worry about the mid-range jumpers, so don't worry about that. You know, maybe they had that conversation, and maybe they poo-pooed it after they saw the quote, or maybe they're going to let him work on it and then try and kind of work around in this offense.
Phil's in Cedarburg. Phil, pick a lane.
Yeah, the Brewer lane, whatever that lane is.
Yes.
I don't know if this is really on topic, but, dude, how bad is Ryan Braun?
Yeah, home run last night.
He's hitting 270. He's pretty consistent.
Do you have any faith in the guy if he's up to bat with guys on? Any faith?
No.
Yeah?
Yeah. He's bad. And I was so happy because I thought this was the last year we had the guy.
Nope, next year.
Oh, my God. We're stuck with him for one more year.
One more year, unless they could find somebody to take his contract. His contract's not horrible for an expiring contract next year. So this offseason, maybe.
Dude, what are you talking about? This ain't the NBA. He's no best to take an expiring contract.
Phil, he's on pace to hit about 270, about 25 homers, about 85 driven in. That's a bad baseball player to you?
Maybe I haven't watched enough this year. Every time I watch the guy, it's either a strikeout or a double play. He just looks hopeless at the plate. You know, maybe he gets a little juice at the beginning of the year and he gets a little hot.
Well, he just changed his stance now in the batter's box. He just did that. Thanks for the call. Listen, as far as Braun goes, we just had this conversation yesterday. And I said, bring up Keston Hira up to three, drop Braun back down to the bottom of the order where Keston Hira is. You didn't like that idea. Then I turn into the postgame show last night, and I hear Tim Allen telling everybody that Keston Hira should be the leadoff hitter. I didn't have three. He's got him leading off. And then Kane batting two, Yelich batting three, and everybody slides down, which means Braun's the four hitter. I'm not a big fan of that. But everybody then essentially slides down. I think what we all do agree upon is Keston Hira needs to be up higher in the order. Number one, need to figure that out. And then figure out wherever the best landing spot is going to be for Ryan Braun going forward. And obviously, he thinks he's struggling. Otherwise, you wouldn't change your batting stance, right? So clearly, he's a little bit frustrated.
Something's
otherwise, you wouldn't go to that dramatic of a change. So you make that change. He comes up with the home run last night. So let's give Braun a chance here and see what he does over the next couple of weeks.
But is that a bad baseball player? Hitting 270 and 20, 25 bombs, 80, 85 driven in.
I don't think it's a bad baseball player. I just think everybody looks at that contract, and that's what it gets compared to. It's
sure
MVP year, and now look what the hell he is. I mean, it's...
So a 26-year-old against a 35-year-old.
A cheater versus probably not.
A 25-year-old against a 35-year-old.
Right. You could look at however you want. All I'm saying is since he got busted for the PEDs, we haven't seen the same guy as we did before he got busted for the PEDs. So you could say it's age. I'll say it's probably PEDs. And that's the two difference makers. And in fairness to the Brewers, as far as I know, they didn't know he was cheating. So when they gave him that extension, they thought it was all up and up.
Correct.
And then they got screwed. They didn't get out of the contract. And here we sit. So, no, he's not bad. I wouldn't say he's bad. I mean, he's not hitting, you know, Saladino numbers by any stretch of the imagination. He's not that. But compared
to Aguilar numbers.
No, not Aguilar numbers. He's not as hot as Aguilar in the last month either, though. Arcia has completely fallen off the side. But Arcia has had clutch hits this year. Going back to what that guy said, when people are on base, how comfortable are you with Ryan Braun at the plate? Arcia has come up with some big hits over the course of the year.
Maybe Brawny just needs a couple of Bofordings. Just go all natural and change the batting stance.
Went all natural to begin with.
Relax.
Be in this situation.
Just enjoy his life and go all natural with Bofording beer like everybody should this summer. Imported from the country of Luxembourg. Bofording, new to the United States, is being imported exclusively to the state of Wisconsin by a local company. Bofording 100% natural and brewed using only the finest raw materials. Talking about fresh spring water, the finest barley, and the choicest hops. That spring water from a special source, guys. 1,000 feet directly beneath the brewery. And since beer, water is beer's most important ingredient, this exceptionally pure water gives Bofrink its fresh taste and smooth drinkability in all of its brews. The crisp Pilsner, the flagship beer, the smooth triple ale, the balanced Brune, and thanks to Bofrink's 100% natural ingredients and commitment to quality, all of its brews give you the full flavor that's refreshing rather than filling. Bofrink available in more places than ever before in Milwaukee right now. You can go grab a six-pack at Total Wine & More, Sednick's Fine Foods, Consumer Beverage, or for the month of July at all Fox Brothers Piggly Wiggly locations, as Bofrink is the premier beer of the month at all Fox Brothers Piggly Wiggly locations. Or if you just want to test out the tap, go over to Cafe Hollander, Cafe Benelux, Nomad, or Sport Club. Tweet your all-natural pictures to me, hashtag Bofrink Bill, at Bill Schmidt Radio. I might just come out and have a Bofrink on you, because Bofrink is Milwaukee's all-natural choice for the summer. 414-799-1250. Great Lakes Dragway, pick a lane on the Fan. Big show on the Fan, Pella Windows and Doors, Wisconsin On Deck show comes at you at 6 o'clock here on the Fan. Great Lakes Dragway pick a lane right now, and Dave is picking a lane here on the Wendy's Big Show. Hi, Dave.
How are you doing, guys?
Good.
I just wanted to kind of follow up of the caller that was talking about Giannis and his mid-range and all that. You know, what you're kind of forgetting about him working on his mid-range is that actually helps his free throw as well, which We all know during the playoffs, that's what plagued us more than anything. Hell, we could have even won that Eastern Conference final series if our free throw shooting was even just a hair better. So I think by him working out his mid-range, he's more or less helping out his free throw shooting. And hopefully the team kind of sees that as well. I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I'll hang up and listen.
Appreciate it, Dave. I think some of the conversation about Giannis's free throw shooting would be helped if he was working on a 15-foot jump shot. I mean, like, that is kind of the nature of a 15-foot jump shot, free throw line extended,
right,
elbow jumper. But and this is always a conversation that I get into. It's just, it's different than going into a gym, shooting 1,000 free throws, and you go 900 for 1,000, than when you're shooting them in front of a packed-up stadium. The depth perception is
totally
different. In an 18,000-foot arena or person arena.
Yep.
I get it. That's what you get paid for, but
totally different.
You can't replicate that. Like, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I don't have much to say other than to say that regardless if he works on this mid-range jumper or not, or he works in the three-point jumper or whatever, and I just keep saying what I will always say, because Gary has taught me it over the course of time. Sometimes you just are who you are in a certain aspect, and it doesn't matter how much you work on it. You're only going to end up being to a certain level. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's not, well, I don't believe he's going to ever be Steph Curry shooting the three-point shot.
No, I don't believe
he's ever going to be at that level.
So that's why I say Scottie Pippen.
Right, so eventually he's going to get to a level of where he's going to top out
and
at
that's it.
As a three-point shooter. He's eventually going to get to a level where he's at from 15 feet, and that's going to be it. No matter how much he works, that's just who he is.
Yep.
So we have to kind of, again, think about what expectations really should be for this dude. He's exceeded my expectations by a million times over. I said, who did I say, Kirilenko or something like that back his second or third year in the league. So it completely blew my expectations out of the water. But from the standpoint of now going forward and saying, well, I'm at 60%, okay, yeah. I mean, if you top out at everything at peak levels, sure, then I guess you're at 60%. That's why I lean more towards 85%, because I just don't know if there's another, I mean, 60%, you're talking about, what, four more huge growth spurts in his game going forward? I just don't know if he's got that. I mean, he might have another decent jump here at some point, but after that, I think you would have to think he's got to be close to maxing out.
He's got to be. I still think for him, because of his basketball knowledge of, or maybe playing of the game, I still think his ceiling may be higher than most. But, yeah, you're right. He's going to plateau and be who he's going to be at some point.
Because it's so it's difficult to rate how much basketball Giannis actually played in comparison to, like you said, like I mean, a Kyrie Irving, right? He put out the video when he decided to say that he was going to Brooklyn, showing all the different courts that he played on when he was a kid, 5, 6, 7 years old when he was with his dad.
Right.
Giannis didn't start playing basketball until he was, what, 13?
Yep.
I mean, there's obvious room for improvements.
Huge
there.
Difference, yeah.
But if there is 60%, you're right. We're in for a treat here in Milwaukee. No doubt about it. Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan, 414-799-1250. Caller number 11 to 105.7 FM, The Fan's 414-799-1250. Once again, 414-799-1250. Caller 11 will get themselves a four-pack of tickets to the Wisconsin State Fair as the fair's 11-day run starts up on August 1st, runs through the 11th, and you have a chance to go with us all week long here on the Wendy's Big Show. 414-799-1250, live at 1057FMTheFan.com or 1057FMTheFan.com. Contest page is how you and try to win the Bring Home the Bacon Bag.
Yeah, Bring Home the Bacon Bag. Good news. Jeremy just redid the pictures of you and Gary Ellerson. Found some more current pictures. He found one of you, Gary, slimmed down version. And so you can take a glimpse of that, Gary, if you want to see the how old Gary Ellerson looks. And Baby Tausch looks like a 40, 45-year-old man screaming at his kids on a football field.
So much better for Baby Tausch.
The
new look.
Oh, yes, okay. For sure.
I looked like I was 90.
Yeah, Baby Tausch looks way better.
I got worse.
You look like you aged another 20 years on top of what the last picture showed.
Okay.
You look like you're about 75.
Yeah, I'm about 75 right now.
You're not that.
You're 75 right now.
Your body may feel that, but it's not.
Nah, man, he's in the best shape of his life.
He's
35.
Yeah, best shape of my life.
He also then tweeted out a picture to @little_Rami. And said, "Daddy
Ooh.
Got old.
Ooh.
Dad didn't age well either."
Yeah. Rom,
yeah,
he already is kind of an ugly joker.
Yeah,
yeah, kind of.
Yeah, that didn't.
Yeah, no,
didn't age as well.
He looks like a grandma,
right? But I mean, you think about it from this aspect. You like his girlfriend Casey. She can see what she might be in for going forward if that's something she's thinking about long term.
That could also help Hannah on The Bachelorette. Maybe she should just use the age filter on all the dudes before she makes the final decision, right?
You don't watch The Bachelorette.
No, I usually watch The Bachelor. I did watch the episode last night of The Bachelorette because it was the fantasy suite dates. That's the one you can't miss.
The what?
The fantasy suites.
What's that?
That's where they slide you the card.
Yeah.
Say, why don't you stay as a couple tonight?
Right.
In the fantasy suite.
Mm.
And it's the same suite for all of them?
No, they're all different. One guy got to go up into a windmill.
Oh.
And it was to the windmill, to the wall.
Uh-huh.
And then the other guy got to stay out on a yacht.
Okay. So, like, they're totally encouraging these people to get it on while they're on the show then.
Yeah, but the one dude, she's like, you know what? Our relationship doesn't need that. I think what we need to do is sit down and talk. And he was like, I mean, I guess. Yes, we can do that. He obliged. Then the other dude got right up into it.
Right.
Got wild last night.
Yeah.
That was for sure.
Now you're done with it?
Yeah, I'm done. I don't really care who wins.
No, it doesn't matter.
To be honest with you. No. I just like the pettiness. That's for sure. 414-799-1250. Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Wendy's Big Show on The Fan.
Man, somebody's on The Fan account.
Yeah, I don't know who this is.
Doing the face apps. Ryan Horvath just went up.
It's got to be Tom. Like, our boss, Tom Parker, has to be doing this.
I don't know who it is. Somebody's doing it. Somebody's definitely doing it. Bart's up. Joe's up. Bill Michaels is up. And that's scary looking.
The Bill Michaels one is kind of scary.
That, I mean, that's like Bill at like 95.
Although, hey, man, if he's looking like that at 95, like, he still looks all right. If he can still get around at all.
He's got, like, a million wrinkles on his face.
I want to see
picture.
Somebody do Mike Clemens.
Ooh, yes.
The Mike Clemens face.
McGivern.
Mike's already there. Don't do him.
Guys, McGivern would be good.
I really would rather you not poke fun at me with my facial app. I don't think people are going to like it when they tune in to Faith in the Show.
Yeah, the Baby Tausch
8 a.m. and 8 p.m.
Oh, they just screwed you.
On The Fan. They did another one of me?
They just did. Well, The Fan app did it now.
Oh, is it even worse?
At Bill Schmidt Radio, yes. Is the mysterious custodian that gives you a second chance in one of those movies where the character gets to relive his life. Somebody. I'm telling you.
It's just evil.
It's not our boss. Somebody on the staff is doing it and having fun.
I got like 19 chins.
Baby Tausch, Bodie thinks it's Bart, but you said he's not.
No, he's not. Oh, no. Well, I'm on the On Deck Show next.
Bye. We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.